God is moving. God will continue to move. I believe God wants to speak to you today. God wants to touch your heart. Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Last week we covered verses 1 and 2. Today we're going to cover verse 3 through 11. I've been called on to preach a funeral this week, and it's Thursday, so I'll not be able to do the yes luncheon. So if you had that on your calendar, I apologize for that, but we will not be able to do the luncheon this Thursday. We are still on track for doing Saturday morning breakfast for the men, so be in prayer for me as I preach that funeral on Thursday. Are you there in Romans chapter 5? I titled this, Continue to Stand When the Pressure Comes. Continue to stand when the pressure comes. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Again, let's pray. Father God, we just come before you. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord. As Roy was praying, Jehovah Shammah, you are here. The Lord is here. God, we recognize your presence. God, we recognize that where you're at, Father, Lord, you're there to move, to minister, to make right. God, we give you permission, Father, Lord, for you to move in any way that you want, Father. We have no other agenda than to listen to the Spirit of God and to respond accordingly. God, have your way in this service. God, our hearts are a bit heavy for a couple of people that we love and know. God, we pray for Natalie Wade. God, we ask for a miracle. Lord, we know that you are the giver of life. Father, I pray, Lord, against cancer. I just ask, God, that you would touch her. Lord, if it be your will, Lord, to take her home, we understand that. But Father, we do know it's also your will to heal and to restore and to lift up. So Father, we will pray according for life, God, because you are life-giving. So God, we just thank you, Lord, for her preciousness of her life. We pray, God, that you would touch her. God, we also pray for Dylan Smith right now, Lord, that you would work a miracle. God, we just believe, Lord, that you are healing his body. You are surrounding him, Lord, with the things that he needs, God. We just speak peace into the situation. We speak Jesus into the situation. God, we thank you, Lord, for this young man. God, we know that there seems to have been a real effort to take him out. But Father, we claim him for the kingdom. We speak Jesus over Dylan Smith, God, that you would have your perfect will in him, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Heather and Randall, Johnny and Cindy, and us entire family, Shelby. Father, we just speak, Lord, that there would be total peace, Lord, as they trust in you. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Most of you know that chapter 5 is verses 1 and 2 is just one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I love it because it tells us something so wonderful. It tells us that we have access by faith into this grace. So I don't know if you're like me, but I am fascinated by faith. I'm just fascinated because faith takes me out of what I can do. Faith goes beyond the natural and taps into the supernatural. So by nature, I am not able to do a lot of, my abilities are very limited as yours are, right? I can't heal anyone. I can't make finances appear in your checking account or bank account. I can't even get anyone saved. But he can. See, by faith, we can do all things through Christ, right? And he says, by faith, and verse 2 is what is so fascinating to me because of the way it uses the word grace. I know that we're saved by grace, right? Through faith, by grace, we're saved. I get that. But it talks about this grace differently in verse 2. It talks like grace is more than something that we use and need. It talks like it's a destination. He said, by faith you enter into this grace. See, I'm convinced that grace is so much bigger than what we understand it to be. Pastor Art taught us that God doesn't have lots of systems, that God has one system. And the one system that gets you saved also gets you healed. The one system that gets you saved, that gets you healed, also it taps into that God is more than enough. God meets your needs. God uses this system to keep it simple for us. And that simple is called by faith into grace. I don't deserve anything of the blessings of God. I don't deserve them. But Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits. Don't forget what God has done. He saves me, he heals me, and he crowns my life. Oh, I like that part. Somebody want to get me a crown? I would prefer if it would cover the bald spot, really. So he crowns my life. He takes me out of the pit of despair. Has anybody ever been in the pit of despair? Where it just doesn't seem like it ever gets light. You cannot even see the light. I'm going to tell you, it's not God's will for you. God wants to take you out of the pit of despair and place your feet on the solid rock. And you know what? He can do that today. Amen. That's worth clapping for. Thank you, Jesus. So before I start this sermon, I want to tell you this thing that you hold, whether it be electronically or I like paper. It's the most powerful thing that you'll ever hold in your lap. This. But can I tell you what it's not? Because we've tried to make it into this. We have tried to make this book a self-help book. See, if you'll read this, and if you'll start trying to improve yourself, that's not the Bible. See, the Bible is, you can't improve yourself. You can't do it. But this word can. See, there is a power in this book that is able to come into your life. And it's called grace. Grace. See, you may not be thinking right today. Has anybody ever had some wrong thoughts? Has anybody ever made decisions when you're thinking wrong? Mm-hmm. I have. God is able to correct that wrong thinking. It's not you doing it, but the Word of God does it in you. It's by grace. Are you getting this? By grace you're saved. By grace you're healed. By grace your mind is changed to think the thoughts of God. He says that you would have the mind of Christ. Right? That's not a self-help, folks. That's a God help us. Okay. So we're studying today in verses 3 through 11. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Hallelujah! I've got another problem. Yeah, who does that? Right? Only the insane? Right? Does God want you happy? Does God want you comfortable? No. Do you know God will let you go through some unhappy, uncomfortable times to do something in you? It's not to make you miserable, and He doesn't do it. But He allows you to go through things to perfect you. Right? So when you begin to see things from God's perspective, you may get to the point where you can say, thank you, Lord, for this difficulty. No, you're not there yet. I'm going to have to preach longer and we'll come back to it, okay? Oh, Pastor, you just lost me. The word for tribulation in the Greek word is thipolis, and it means pressure. Pressure. You ever felt like you're being squeezed? You know, one time when I was a little kid, my brother come up behind me and he says, hold your breath and I'm going to squeeze you. And he squeezed me and I held my breath and then he let me go and I'm down on the dirt, man. I just passed out. He squeezed me. He squeezed all the air out of me. You know, sometimes in the pressure of life, what you really are comes out. See, we can fool ourselves sometimes, right? God knows who we are. We are not being tested so He can see the true you. He knows. Everything's laid open and bare, according to Hebrews, before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. So who needs to know? You do. I do. Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall, is what the Word of God says. You need to know, do I need help here? Do I need to be shored up? Do I need to get into the Word more in certain areas? Yeah, baby. So the Lord allows you to go through some pressure in life. And pressure is not comfortable. Is it? But when you face it from God's perspective, is it possible that you can go through something difficult and thank God for it? That's what He's saying. Not later. Right then. Right then. You can say, God, I don't have all the answers. I don't even understand what I'm going through, but I trust you. I trust that you're doing something in my life that's going to bring something about. It's going to do something. James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, brethren, count it all joy when you go through diverse, all kinds of different trials, all kinds of different stresses, all kinds of different anxiety. But analyze your heart. Look at yourself and see, how am I facing these difficulties? I promise you this, if you fall to pieces, if you let anxiety just tear you up, buddy, I promise you, the devil's going to make sure you go through a lot of different things. But if you find strength in Him, the devil may back off. Why? Because he don't want you getting strong in Him. Count it all joy when you go through diverse temptation. Same thing there. When you see that possibly the reason I'm going through this is God is doing something. He is trying to perfect me. He's trying to mature me. It will give you a different perspective on difficulties in life. 1 Peter verses 4. He says, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is going to try you as some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Oh yeah. Rejoice. You can't pay your electric bill. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're still not there, are you? Okay. I've got just a few points on this. Does God cause tribulation to come upon you? No. Please get this right. The Bible says very clearly in James chapter 1 verse 13 that God does not tempt anyone. God does not bring bad things upon you. All good things come from God. James 1:17. God doesn't tempt you with evil. I think the clearest thing in Scripture that teaches this is Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 when Jesus was tempted. Now listen to this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Who was he led by? The Spirit. Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, not by God. He was led by the Spirit. You got to get this. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. Why did God allow that? He knew he would overcome. He knew that he was going to learn something to stand upon that word, to combat Satan with the word of God. And he knew that Satan would flee because Jesus knew the word of God, right? Have you ever thought that maybe the Lord trusts you enough to let you go through this one? Maybe the Lord sees strength in you that you don't see. I know some of you are saying, he must think I'm awfully strong. Because it sure has been tough. When he says, count it all joy, I want you to know that's not an emotional reaction. It's a deliberate, intentional appraisal of the situation from God's perspective. Testing carries the ideal of when we refine gold or we refine silver, we put it in the fire and it burns off the bad stuff, the dross, whatever. It burns that nasty stuff off so that it will be pure silver. Anxiety will leave you when you start thanking God for pressure. That may be your deliverance right there. Did you get it? You know, some of you have become so accustomed to anxiety, it's like an old friend. Anxiety is not your friend, it's your enemy. You got to get this one. I hate to see you going through this. I hate to see the turmoil. I know, because I'm a fretter by nature. That's who I am. But not supernaturally. God is teaching me to trust Him during difficulty. To internalize it it's wearisome. It rots your gut, literally. Makes me sick. It's about the only way I really can lose weight is if I get so nervous I can't eat. And that happens. The trials will help to develop endurance. He says that. He says, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance is patience. I like what the Greek, it's here, two words. It's staying power. See, the Bible says that when you've done it all, when you've done everything you can, just stand. Have you ever had such difficulty that it was hard just to stand there? And the Bible says tribulations will produce patience in you, the staying power that you need so God fights your battle for you. I'm preaching better than you're shouting, I promise you. The word is hupomono, and it means cheerful endurance. See, patience is not a passive word, but it's actually faith that is sustained over a period of time. Folks, I apologize that you have heard so many sermons that said, don't pray for patience. Shame on pastors. The Bible says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Patience is a powerful thing. Patience is the staying power so that when trouble comes, you just get bulldog stubborn. I'm not giving up on the promises of God. They are yea and amen. I will not be overcome, but I will overcome. Patience gives you that endurance with a hopeful, a cheerful disposition. Not the sour one that comes in church so often. I've been tempted all week. I've just been tested. Buddy, it looks like you've been sucking on lemons. That's not what God wants. God wants you to come in here like an overcomer. God wants you to get up tomorrow on Monday. You look at that car that won't start. It's got a flat tire. And you say, bless God, oh my soul. Maybe you're delaying me a little bit today, Lord, but I believe you're protecting me in this delay. If you read anything about 911, you'll discover something. 50,000 people should have been in that building, but only about 3,600 was. Now, 3,600 is still a lot of lives to be lost. But what happened to the 47,000? Some of them stopped to get donuts. Some car wouldn't start. Some of them probably cursed God because their car wouldn't start. Some of them got stuck in traffic, and it just made them so mad. I don't understand why this is always happening to me. Well, can I give you a little hint? God is saving your life. Amen. Have you ever drove up on a really bad accident? Do you realize that could have been you? I remember one time, I'm one of these, and I've shared this with you before, but you know every story that I've ever... I'm one of these guys that I don't watch my light turn green, I watch the other light turn yellow, okay? Because when it's turning yellow, I'm getting ready to head on out of here. And so one day I'm sitting there and I'm watching that light turn yellow, I'm letting off my clutch, I'm just getting... And all of a sudden the Lord said, whoa, whoa. I pushed that clutch back in. And all of a sudden, a car ran the red light. If I had done what I was going to do, I would have T-boned that car. But God protected me. You see, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a great amount of rejoicing in what you didn't know that God did for you. God is protecting you every day of your life. God has overshadowed you. You see, Psalms 91 is true. He that dwells in the shelter of the Almighty shall abide. Right? If we abide, we're going to dwell. And the promises of God of protection are right there for us. Please hear me. Would you quit getting mad? Can you just let the anger go and trust God? It's powerful. It's powerful. You mean, do you think, Pastor, that I could read things so wrong that I'd act like that? Absolutely. I know us. So the Lord wants to produce this patient endurance. And in that, in patience, you're going to see God do a lot of things powerful. And then he says this, that the patience is going to develop character. My spiritual father, Rick Clendenin, he used to talk to me about character, how important it is. You see, the church, we tend to analyze gifts and talents and abilities. We tend to think people are so wonderful because they can do certain things well. Right? Oh, he gives words of knowledge. Oh, man. I love to hear him pray, or I love to hear him teach, or I love to hear him play the guitar and her sing. Folks, don't judge people by their talent. Look at their character. See, God is not developing your charisma. God is developing the true you, your character. Because when we act upon charisma, we will defile the kingdom of heaven. You see, it's there's charismatic people that their character is not good that winds up stealing from the church or running off with the secretary of the church. Have we seen some of that? Yeah, it's men of God that supposedly men of God that wind up doing something. And I will tell you, the temptation gets greater. Because if Satan can make someone that's elevated in the kingdom of God fall, everybody who is looking at that man will stumble. So don't be looking at men. Keep your eyes upon our Savior. Character is also called experience. One person that I read, it says, the temper of the veteran as opposed to that of a raw recruit, it is character that is produced as a result of having fought battles and won. The trials of life become instruments in the hand of the Holy Spirit to make you the person He has called you to be. See, I've talked to Tony before in depth, and he talks sometimes about new recruits. Though they're gung-ho and they've got the energy, they just don't have the experience. They don't often read the situation right. They don't often bring into a heated situation the right element to calm the thing down. Right? They're energetic, but they need some experience. So you know what the police force does? You know what the military does? They team them with someone who's been there for a while. They're trying to temper, right? They're trying to temper the person that's coming up alongside. Do you know that's what we ought to be doing in the kingdom of heaven? You know, that's what the scripture says. Older ladies teach younger ladies. Older men teach younger men. You realize how wise the Bible is? Long before we figured it out, God told us, here, take the experience and teach the youth. It is good. Pastor, thank you so much. The last thing he says, that it would develop hope. And hope will not disappoint you. Hope is the confident expectation. If you go through the tribulation right, if you encounter the right attitude in the pressure of life, the end result is you're going to have hope that's going to begin to appear in your life. The Bible doesn't say that we overcome battles by hope. Right? It says we overcome battles through faith. But what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not. Hope is powerful. Do you know that we live in a world that's losing their hope? If you're my age or older, you have no clue what these young people are going through today. It's a different world. You know how difficult it is for you, right? Come on, talk to me. It's difficult today because dark's getting darker, isn't it? Dark's getting darker. Can you imagine being a teenager? I bet it's 10 times harder for this group to stand as a child of God in the adversity that they face every day. We ought to be praying for them every day. Seriously, we ought to be praying for our young people. And sometimes they lose hope. Sometimes the people that you work with lose hope. Sometimes the people that's sitting beside you in the pew loses hope. And when you lose hope, you're close to the end. It's a dangerous place. Don't lose hope. Hope is confident expectation. You see, maybe you don't see what God is doing. Maybe you can't even say, I think God is going to do. But hang on to hope. Hope will get you through it. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Right? Faith is the victory. How do we increase our faith? By hearing the Word of God. It says, literally says this, by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now a good old Tennessean would say, you got to hear the Word of God. Keep hearing it every day of your life, right? Speak it out. Listen to preaching. Build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. But don't lose hope. God's on your side. Do you realize how close you may be to victory? Do you know in any moment of time, God can change your situation from dark to light? In a moment's time. How fast life changes. Told you I'm preaching a funeral this Thursday. I've known Paula since I went to college. Good girl. She's 65, just a little bit older than me. Loved Jesus with all her heart. Went to take a walk. And on that walk, she's lost her breath and almost passed out. She made it back to the car. Went up, called her daughter. Daughter come and got her. By the next day, she was dead. The next day, she thought everything was okay. Her husband is Herb. Life changed in a moment's notice. He had no idea. In a moment's notice. See, we see that one. But do you realize in a moment's notice how life could change for the better? You may win the lottery. No, please. Don't you do that, don't you? God can change your life in a moment's notice. Hang on to hope. Hang on to hope. Hope is your best friend. What is hope? Hope is trusting. Trust, it's confident expectation that God is working even when I can't see it. I don't feel nothing. Doesn't matter what you feel. Have hope in God. He'll change your situation. You know, I think we just need to encourage each other so much in this. He goes on in this passage of Scripture and he tells us that hope doesn't disappoint us. And then he gives you two great assurances. I don't know if you notice this. He gives you two great assurances why you should hang on to hope. Do you know what those two great assurances is? It's the love of God and the Holy Spirit. He says, just think about this. God loved you when you were yet a sinner. For scarcely will a righteous man, or will a man die for a righteous man. But God died for you when you hated him. When you didn't think anything about him. God loved you enough that he died for you. And then he says, and not only did he die for you, but when you accepted him, he placed his Holy Spirit in you. There's two reasons you ought to, come on, get with me, would you? Two reasons you ought to be the most hopeful people in the world. One, I understand how much God loves me. I promise you the devil's going to try to talk this one out. He's going to try to tell you God doesn't love you. I'm telling you by the authority of the Word of God, God loves you. Amen. You have that promise. God loves you. God will move heaven and earth if he has to for you. Proves that we ought to be hopeful. God loves us. It's the agape. Let me read that definition. I know we know the agape love is the unconditional love. Whew, somebody give me some oxygen. It's more than that. It's unconditional, undefeatable benevolence, and unconquerable goodwill that always seeks your highest good. Isn't that good? It's unconditional, undefeatable, unconquerable goodwill that seeks your highest good. God loves you. That's just the first one. The second one is God in you. Do you remember what Paul says in one other place? Christ in you is the hope of glory. He said, I want to prove to you that you should have hope. God loves you. And he places his Spirit. You understand what the Holy Spirit is? It's the Spirit of Jesus. It's God's Holy Spirit. God, holy means separated. God's separated Spirit from all others. Jesus Christ's Spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit proves how much he loves us. Verse 6 says that we were utterly hopeless, and then Christ came at just the right moment. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he says this, if your fathers give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the gift of the Holy Spirit? 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says, we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he goes on, and I love verse 8, but God. See, every time you see a but God in your scripture, you need to underline that, circle it, because he's saying the situation was like this, but God. God changed your world. God rocked your world. God changed your helpless, hopeless situation and gave you hope. I want you to notice something. In that verse, every verb is past tense. God died for us. God forgave us. They're all past tense except for one. God demonstrates. See, he didn't say God demonstrated. God didn't demonstrate. God demonstrated his love for us. No, no. God demonstrates. It's active. Yes, present tense. In other words, yes, he died on the cross. But he is demonstrating his love for you right now. Right now, God wants you to know how much he loves you. See, you may be here thinking that he can't get me out of this. I promise you he can. I promise you God can change your world. You see, all of Christianity, God flips things upside down. Right? God is the master of doing that. He says, I don't know where I got that. Christianity is the great exchange. For sin, he gives us righteousness. For sickness, he gives us health. For sorrow, he gives us joy. For not enough, he gives us more than enough. God will change your situation if you allow him. Now I'm going to step into something that I'm not positive about, but I want you to see it. So God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more then. You know, all my life I've heard this. God loves you as much as a sinner as he does as a saint. That is being challenged in this little brain because of those three words. See, God loved me when I was a sinner and he saved me. He made the way for salvation. But those three words, they're almost haunting to me. Much more then. You mean it gets better? Yes, sir. That's what I mean. Much more then. See, if God would reach down and save you when you hated him, how much more will he do for you when you are responding to him in love? You know, sometimes you got to teach your children certain things that maybe you don't want to teach them. I was teaching my youngest son, Drew, how to share, and only had enough money. It was hot. We were playing miniature golf on up, probably it was 100 degrees. And every child was saying, get us something to drink, Dad. And I had 50 cents. There was a Coke machine. And Drew said, Dad, please get me a Mr. Pibb or something. So I bought him one. I said, this is all the change I got. I bought him one. I said, now you need to share that. And so he took a couple of sips, and one of his brothers said, can I have that? And he said, no. No. He's about 8 or 9. No, I ain't sure. And I said, Drew, can I have a drink? He said, sure, Dad. So I took that can. I walked over to the trash can. I threw it away. Do you know that son is now 28 years old? And he remembers that like it was yesterday. I bore a memory in him that it's going to take a good psychiatrist to work out of that. He knows how important sharing is. You know, God wants to bore some things into your memory. You know, God wants to change and challenge the way you think. So therefore, he might allow you to go through some difficulty. But if you do it right, if you understand he never leaves you nor forsakes you, he's working for your good. He wants to create in you a good character and a hopeful person, much more then. Come on, folks. You used to be a heathen. You used to talk ugly and dirty and tell dirty jokes, and you were not a good person. But Jesus loved you. He loved you. Much more then. Come on. Now you're a saint. Now the love is reciprocated. Did you hear his prayer? I mean, all he did was glorify God. God, you're high and lifted up. You're this and you're that and you're this. He just, and when he, the more he lifted up, didn't you feel the presence of God just, yes, I am. Right? Much more then, I promise you, God's on your side. Much more than you think. He'll do more than you think. He'll do more than you can imagine. God loves you. You're not hopeless. You're not helpless. I don't care what your battle is right now. God will see you through it. God will bring you to the other side. And there's victory on the other side of this thing. There's going to be some dancing and rejoicing when you get to the other side. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about right here, right now. When you see that situation change, you're going to shout for glory. So here's my challenge for you. Can you shout for glory now? Can you say, I believe it's done in Jesus' name? Come on, can you? Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Much more then. The last verse, verse 11. He says, and not only, if I had my Braille Bible, I could just read. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You're in right standing with God. God has reconciled your sin. God doesn't look at you as a sinner anymore. God's not holding your past against you. You may be holding your past against you, but God doesn't. I don't care how defiled you were. I don't care how wicked you were. When you accept Jesus, when He forgives you, He wipes the slate clean, never to be remembered any longer. If you don't feel good about yourself today, do you realize how much God loves you? Can you trust Him? He's trustworthy. God is trustworthy. No matter what you're going through. And I know some of you are going through some difficulties right now. You know, I could say that on any given Sunday. On any given Sunday, somebody's hurting. And I'm just trying to tell you, trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Maybe you just come through a season that you never wanted to go through. My friend Herb, as we're burying his wife Thursday, I promise you, he didn't see it coming. But if he can trust God through this, God will strengthen him. He may not see it right now, but joy comes in the morning. God will restore that joy. Amen. Would you stand with me? This whole sermon, to me, is all about that first verse, verse 3. It's all about what is your attitude going to be in difficulty? What's your attitude in difficulty? You can get mad and pout. You can be sad. Or you can get excited that God is in control of your life. Even if you can't see that He's going to work it out, or how in the world He can do that. You know, can I say this? God doesn't need you to tell Him how to work out your problems. But you know we do that, right? Well, God, you just need to do this and this. I need a better job, God. No, you don't. Maybe God wants to bless you right there where you're at. It's amazing how money motivates us. What if we allowed God to motivate us more? God, I'm not moved by money. I'm not moved by things. I'm moved by Your Spirit. Move in my life, Jesus. I want You to do this for me. I want You to repent of anxiousness. I want You to repent of not trusting God. See, I think it's more wicked than what we understand. Every one of us. We all do it. But that doesn't make it right. See, we all have the same disease. It's unbelief. And the devil is not your friend. He's your enemy. And he's got a big mouth. And he is constantly telling you, you can't trust him. You can't trust that book. And I've come to tell you, you can. Repent. Do you trust me enough to say, Eric, I'm not feeling it, but I know you're right. I know I need to repent for being anxious. I know I need to repent for worry. Can we just do that right now? Can I pray for you? Jesus, I thank you for these precious people. God, I love each one of them so much. I'm so thankful that you brought them into this family. God, we have a wonderful church. But Lord, we are people. And many of us have a problem with anxiety. Many of us exhaust ourselves trying to fix our own problems. And we can't figure out how to make this work. And when we can't figure it out, we get hopeless. And our attitude turns sour and our stomach turns sour. If we're not careful, God, it turns into depression. And it gets awfully dark. Because we can't see the hope and the light of you shining through. So Jesus, I'm leading this congregation in this prayer of saying, I repent. I repent for not trusting you. I repent for worrying. And I choose this very moment to cast my care upon you, because your word says you care for me. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is inside of me. I thank you, Lord, that hope comes again in my life. And God, I choose to rejoice in difficulty when I look at it from your perspective. Not sure what you're doing in my life, not sure why I'm going through this, but I choose to trust you that you're going to work all things for my good. Because I do love you, and I have been called by your name. Father, hear my prayer today. I ask, Lord, that you begin to change my circumstances to reflect what I believe is a good report coming. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Chapter 5 is a good chapter. Chapter 5 is a wonderful chapter. Treva started off today, and I don't know if you remember it, but she started off about talking about prayer and how privileged we are that God allows us to pray. See, prayers are not just bouncing off the ceiling. Your prayer goes before the throne of grace. Do you realize God says he stores up your prayer? Even when you're dead and gone, God may be answering your prayer. Isn't that amazing? You know what? You serve an amazing God. Denny, would you come? God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day today.
Last month was October, which was Pastor Appreciation. And as you can see how slow we are walking up here, we were kind of slow getting Pastor Appreciation together because it's already November. But if we had Treva come, we have we've collected a gift for our pastor. He mentioned in his prayer that we have a good church. A significant portion of us having a good church is we have good pastors. And we, yeah.